Welcome to a fantastic word from Pastor Marcus Dunham, an associate pastor here at Golden Triangle Church on the Rock in Southeast Texas. We are so glad you're joining us. For more information about Golden Triangle Church on the Rock Ministries, visit our website, cotr.com. Enjoy the word.
If you are ready for the word, I'm going to ask you to open up to the book of Acts today. The title of the message this morning is Searching for God in Desert Places. Searching for God in desert places. You know, at 36 years old, you know, I would say that I've lived a lot of life and the things that I've gone through. And one of the things that I have come out of that, one of the things I've come out of that is me being thankful. I've learned to be thankful for the things that God has blessed me with. You know, I'm thankful for family. Thankful for my family. Thankful for my in-laws. I'm thankful for the family I get to choose. You know, you guys are the family that I get to choose. You know, I'm thankful for church family. I'm thankful for relationships in general. I'm thankful for friendships. One of my favorite things is being a good friend, knowing that even though that they don't see it, they'll recognize the gift of being a good friend whenever that time comes. You know, I'm thankful for that opportunity. I'm thankful for many things. And one of the things that I have that I'm thankful for more than anything, just like you, is my salvation that I have in Christ. That's one thing that I'm so thankful for. I'm so thankful that I know where I'm going when that time comes. Amen. I'm so thankful for the hope that I have in my heart. I love how, if you were here last Sunday, whenever Pastor Vaughn preached his farewell message, he talked about how whenever he came to Christ, it was like things went from black and white to full of color. And that is such a great description, how life is full of color. You know, I've been a Christian longer than I have not. And one of the things that I know is that it is full of life. My life, you know, even when I go through trials, I know things are going to be okay because I'm with him. I'm so thankful for my life with Christ that is full of joy and peace. However, not everybody has that privilege. You know, there are many people who do not know Christ. There are many people who, even though on the outside it may look like they have things all together, it may look like, you know, they're happy, it may look like they have everything that they need, on the inside there is a hole in their heart. On the inside, there is a yearning. There is an emptiness. And and it's a life spent searching to fill this emptiness in their life. Maybe you remember what that was like. Even at a young age in middle school, whenever I just ponder about my life at that time, and I was searching. I was living for the search. Trying to fill something. But what it is it's people, they are searching for God, whether they realize it or not. They're searching for God in what seems to be like a spiritual desert, a dryness, an emptiness, searching for God. Today we're going to read about a man who himself was searching for God in a literal desert, but was also in a spiritual desert searching for living water. It's in the book of Acts, and it begins with the story of a man named Philip. And there are two Philips in the New Testament, one being the apostle Philip, one of the original 12 disciples. And then you have this Philip, who was a deacon in the early church. He was one of the seven men who were given the responsibility of overseeing and serving widows. And so he's doing his due diligence, but yet he couldn't escape the personal responsibility that he had to share his faith with others. And so in the beginning of Acts chapter 8, we see Philip going into Samaria of all places. Samaria was filled with people that Jews did not like. In fact, they were seen as outcasts, as half-breeds, as people that were outside the people of God, outside the will of God. And yet, he felt called to go to these people. And he let them, he began to share with them about Jesus, who was not only the king of the Jews, but was also the king of the Samaritans. And shared with them how God loved them. And they the amazing thing is that the Samaritans began to believe. Miracles began to happen. So much so that the church in Jerusalem heard about it, and they sent the apostles Peter and the apostle John to check on what was happening. And to their surprise, they realized, man, God was moving. This was for real. And people were being saved. People were getting healed. They were getting delivered. And God was doing his work there in Samaria. Praise God. And after they were finished, after they finished their ministry in Samaria, they began to head back to Jerusalem. And on their way back to Jerusalem, I'm imagining that he got close, if not getting back there to Jerusalem, the Lord speaks to Philip. And this is where we're going to pick up Acts chapter 8, verse 26. So we're going to read this verse by verse. He says, the word says that an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." Other translations says that this is a desert place. I find it interesting that the Apostle Peter and the Apostle John, they were with him. But God doesn't speak to the Apostle Peter. He doesn't speak to Apostle John. He speaks to Philip. And he tells Philip to go to the road from Jerusalem to Gaza, leading to the desert. He says to go. He's basically calling him to the middle of nowhere. I mean, he's calling him to the middle of the desert. And listen, I imagine that Philip is probably wondering why God is sending him to the desert. Why is he sending me to the middle of nowhere? However, God didn't need Philip to know the details. He didn't need Philip to know why he was sending him, where exactly he was supposed to go, what exactly he was supposed to be doing. He didn't need for him to know all of those details. He just needed him to go. And you know, many times God may be asking us, why are we in this season that we're in? God, why do you have me doing what I'm doing? Lord, why? But many times God doesn't necessarily need us to know all the details. He doesn't need us to know the why. He doesn't need us to see the big picture. He just needs us to trust him. And that's exactly what Philip was doing. In verse 27, it says that he arose and he went. He did it. God told him to go to the desert. He said, okay, and he went. Okay? And it continues. It says, "Behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning." Okay, so God calls Philip to go to the middle of nowhere, not knowing all the details, not knowing what he's supposed to do, to head to the desert. So he heads that way, and on the road, on his way, he comes across a man from Ethiopia. Now, we don't know a whole lot about this guy, but there are a few things that we do know based on this passage, okay? So what we know about this man, number one, we know that he is Ethiopian. We know that he is African, that he is of African descent. Most likely, he was of a different complexion, okay? We know that he was a eunuch, meaning that he could not procreate. A eunuch, whether he was born that way or whether he was castrated, he was a eunuch dedicated to serving royalty. Okay, so he was a eunuch, and that was his role. Not only was he an Ethiopian eunuch, but we also know that he was a very powerful man. It says here that he served the kandis, or in the Greek is the kandake, which is just a title like the Caesar. Caesar is a name, but it's a title of the emperor, the ruler of the Roman world. And this right here was the kandis, or the kandake, meaning the queen of the Ethiopians. He was serving the then queen, the then kandake of that time, and he had great authority under her. In fact, he oversaw all of the treasury, all of the finances belonging to her, and most likely to Ethiopia. Not only was he powerful, he was also very wealthy. If you keep reading, it says that he was in a chariot, reading the scroll of Isaiah. Okay, he owned a chariot. Okay, the only way you could own a chariot is if you were balling. You know, you had to have some money. And he was wealthy. Obviously, he was very powerful, so of course he was wealthy. And he was reading the scroll of Isaiah, which was very expensive, which was translated in the Greek. It was the Greek Septuagint, okay? The Old Testament translated to Greek, and he had the scroll of Isaiah, very expensive, and he is reading this. And thirdly, we also know that he was a very educated man, as he was reading the scroll in Greek. Okay, so this was an Ethiopian eunuch who's very powerful, very wealthy, very educated. And also, I just couldn't get past this, that he's reading the scroll of Isaiah. I don't know why he chose to read the scroll of Isaiah, but one thing I do know is that there was a promise made by God to eunuchs there in the book of Isaiah. And I imagine that maybe he heard about this. You know, being a eunuch, you know, he must have looked a little odd. You know, not being able to produce testosterone. So he had to look odd. And knowing that there was a promise for someone who could not procreate, who could not leave a legacy, who could not build his own family, there was a promise made to eunuchs that God would give, that he would give them his name. That he would give them his inheritance. I'm sure he heard that there was a promise made to eunuchs. And so while he was in Jerusalem, I imagine that he picked up the scroll of Isaiah, and on his way, he began to read it. Okay, so this is the man we see, an Ethiopian eunuch who was powerful, wealthy, and educated. Okay, let's continue reading in verse 28. It says that he was sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. And then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot, to go and to approach this chariot, to sit with him. So Philip ran to him. I love that. He ran. And he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? Now, I thought this was really interesting because here is a powerful, wealthy, and educated man in a chariot, most likely being escorted. And this guy runs up, Philip runs and approaches him. And I love that, you know, he knows that God wants him to go up to him, and he hears him reading the book of Isaiah. And so the first thing he thinks is, okay, do you understand what you're reading? I'm imagining that's a very interesting thing to ask somebody of authority. It can almost come across as disrespectful. But even though this looked like a guy that you didn't want to cross, on the outside it looked like somebody that you wanted to be careful around, on the inside is a man who is humbled on his search for God. And when he hears Philip say this, I'm imagining that he probably recognizes that this is somebody who has something that I'm searching for. And whenever he shares this, he says, how can I? Of course he knows what he's reading. He can read in Greek, but he's probably not understanding what he is reading. And he invites Philip to share more. You see, this wasn't just an ordinary an ordinary dignitary. Wasn't just your ordinary person of authority, person of power. You see, this was a man that was searching for God in the desert. And Philip was there to speak to him. Continuing verse 31, it says, and he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. And the place in the scripture which he reads was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Verse 33, in humiliation his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation, for his life was taken from the earth. Man, this is the next thing I thought of. So interesting. He picks up the scroll of Isaiah, and I imagine that he's beginning to read from chapter 1. And he's reading through the prophet Isaiah. I don't know if he reads all the way through. I don't know if he breaks it up. But somehow, some way, at the right time, Philip shows up at the moment that he's reading Isaiah 53 about the suffering servant that is Jesus. You know, God tells Philip to go, and he goes. And it wasn't by coincidence. God knew what he was doing. He sent Philip at the right time. And he showed up. Philip showed up to this Ethiopian eunuch who was searching for God at just the right time. It makes me think of how important it is for us to act, for us to go, for us to do what God tells us to do whenever he calls us. How important is that? Because God is operating on a timeline. God knows what he is doing. And when we go, we will arrive just in time. You know, just like Philip, we may not know what we're doing. We may not know why we're going. We may not know exactly. I may not have all the details. We may not have the big picture, but God does. He arrives just in time. He continues reading, let's continue reading in verse 34. It says, so the eunuch answered Philip after reading this passage. He said, I ask of you, of whom does this prophet say this, or himself, or of some other man? Who is he talking about? He says. Verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth. I love that. He opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Listen, Philip was not an apostle. Okay, he was not somebody who was, you know, he was not one of the main guys in this church. He just had a role. But he couldn't shake the responsibility that he had to share his faith with others. And when he got there, he didn't know all the details. He just knew he was supposed to go up to this man. And after hearing and sitting with him, the Bible says that he just opened his mouth. And I believe that the Lord just took care of the rest. You know, it's so funny, you know, sometimes whenever God sends us and when we're in front of somebody, I'm sure you encountered this, you just know that the Lord wants you to share your faith, but you don't really know what to say. And sometimes when you just open your mouth and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit does the rest, it's like it just this well of life just comes out of you and you begin to say exactly what the Lord, anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, whenever you don't know what to say, listen, you don't have to memorize scripture. You don't have to know everything. All you got to do is be willing and open your mouth, and he will speak through you. And it says that he, starting from this scripture, began to preach Jesus to him. Verse 36, and as they went down to the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Clearly, this man believes. He was searching for God. And in this encounter with this guy, Philip, who didn't know, he didn't know all the details, he didn't know what God was sending him for, shows up and just opens his mouth to the point where this guy says, I get it. And he says, here's some water. What's keeping me from being baptized? Verse 37. It says, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Wow. Wow. This man, listen, Philip was sent to the middle of nowhere. He didn't know where he's going. He didn't know what he was supposed to be doing. He didn't have all the details. But God didn't need him to do that. He just needed him to go. On his way, he encounters a man of African descent on his way back to his hometown. An Ethiopian eunuch who was powerful, who was wealthy, and who was very educated, who was also searching for God in desert places. He was in a spiritual desert himself. Not knowing what was happening, Philip steps up, opens his mouth, shares Jesus, and all of a sudden, this man gets saved. A man of authority, one of the most powerful men in all of Ethiopia, gets born again. You see, God had a plan that day. He needed this man because you know what? He knew he was searching for God. And let me tell you, it wasn't just something that just happened. I believe that God was involved. You know, there's a couple of things that I get from this passage. First thing is that there are people all around us who are searching for God. You know, it may not look like it on the outside, but they're searching for God. I don't imagine that this was the first encounter that this man had with someone with the truth. I imagine that maybe when he was in Jerusalem, he's walking by people who were sharing the gospel, and those seeds were planted. Maybe he was in the tabernacle, you know, or he was in the temple. He was in, he was there hearing the word, and seeds were planted. No doubt God had brought him along the way, working on him, and he was dealing with him this entire time until he knew he was ready. All he needed was for Philip to do his part. But there are people all around us who God is dealing with. There are people all around us who are searching for God. Whether they realize that that's what they're searching for or not, they're searching for him. They're looking for him. And the second thing that I get from this is that God is just needing someone to get up and go. He's just needing someone to be a Philip, who, not knowing all the details, not knowing exactly what God is wanting us to do, Not having the full picture, but needing us just to take a step of faith and trust him. Because you see, God, he may be needing you to plant a seed. He may need you to just love somebody, to encourage somebody. He may need you to share the truth. He may need you to share your testimony. He may need you just to, you know, he may just need you to plant a seed. Or he might use you to close the deal. Whatever God may need us to do, it's all for his glory. He brings the increase. He's doing the work. He just needs us to do our part. You know, you have no idea the seeds you planted whenever you chose to love somebody. And you had a bad day. You were going through things, but you said, you know what? I'm going to be a light today. Whenever you chose to speak life, when you chose to encourage someone, when you chose to love somebody, when you chose to show mercy, when you chose to show grace, when you chose to share your testimony, when you chose to share Jesus and you thought you did terrible and you thought you bombed it because they walked away and looked at you like, you crazy. We've all had those encounters. You have no idea the seeds you've planted. You know, while I was up in OKC, I was with my cousins, you know, helping them move them. You know, I was helping them move, here. And when I was OKC, I just remember, it dawned on me, my boy Josiah lives here. Josiah is who's my best friend that I grew up when I was in Fort Worth. And he was the guy that I talked about whose family introduced me to Jesus, who I went over his house all the time. I was over his house all the time, and his parents were a light to me. They introduced me to Christianity. Along the way of us being friends, you know, I went one way and he went the other. You know, he got into rock and roll and got into shows and touring and eventually lived a life of addiction. And I chose to be a friend to him and I'll reach out to him and things like that. But one day he gave his life to Jesus. He recommitted his life to Christ and he moved out of Fort Worth and he moved to OKC. And I just hadn't seen him in 16 years. I was like, man, I need to call him. So big, he lived 15 minutes away from Blair. And I got to see him. 16 years, and I got to see him. And, bro, we saw each other. I was like, Josiah? He's like, Marcus? I'm like, hey, we dapped it up. We're just like, man. And seeing him, you know, I FaceTime him whenever he was rough. I FaceTime him whenever he was going through it. And to see him with a real smile, to see him with a genuine hope in his heart. And he had a sticker on him, Pastor Ron. He had a sticker with his name on it from church. He had just got done coming from a leadership class at his church, ready to serve in the body of Christ. Man, I was so proud of him. I was so proud of him. And, you know, we're just talking all these things. And, you know, he told me, you know, Marcus, you know, whenever we would talk and I would just be like, whatever, I just, you know, whatever you were saying, he told me, you know, I actually thought about the things you were saying. It may not have looked like it, but, man, I would actually think about those things you were saying. And, like, I just kept thinking about them. And it so encouraged me, because I just want to encourage you today that sometimes it may think that whenever you're sharing your faith, whenever you're doing all these things and you're being a light, it may feel like nothing is happening. You may feel like you're not doing a good job. You may feel like, man, everything you said just fell on deaf ears. Whether it be your family, whether it be your coworkers, whether it be your friends. But let me tell you, you are planting seeds. The Lord does the work. The Holy Spirit, he couldn't reject what God was doing. And God was taking those things and stirring it in his heart. Man, let me encourage you to not grow weary of doing good. Do not grow weary of sharing your faith, because then let me tell you, it works. God is doing his part. He just needs somebody to get up and go. Amen. Few takeaways. Number one, realize that people all around us are searching for God. Whether it be in your family, even though it may look like they're not, in your family, your coworkers, your neighbors, your friends. Shoot, friends that you had, that you grew up with whenever you were younger. They see what you post on Facebook. Man, let me tell you, they're searching for God. People all around us are searching for God. And God is dealing with them. He is working in their life. He is rearranging things in their heart. God is doing what he does best. People all around us are searching for God. Number two, let us trust God's leading when he puts us on assignment. Trust God's leading when he puts you on assignment. You know, sometimes we're just wondering, why in the world is God wanting me to do this? Is this even God? Lord, is that you? Why would he want me to do this? Man, I don't understand. I don't get it. You know, why am I still here? Why am I still doing this? God, why are you wanting me to do these things? He doesn't need us to know why. He doesn't need us to know how. He doesn't even need us to know the details or to have the big picture. He just needs us to trust him. Because he's got something cooking. He's got somebody right there on the crux. And he just needs us to plant a seed. Or he may need us to reap the harvest. But we just got to trust his leading. That's why it's important for us to be a light in season and out of season. It's important because we are planting seeds. Every day, guys, you are planting seeds. When you're being light and you don't even realize it. And then number three, let us be prepared to share Jesus when the time comes. You know, we don't need to have a degree in theology. We don't need to know all that Pastor Ron knows, you know, or Pastor Ken knows. We don't need to have all this knowledge. All we need is a willingness to share what Jesus did in our life. What did Jesus do in your life? How did he change you? And that's all it takes. All we got to do is be willing to open up our mouth, and the Holy Spirit will rise up in us and he will share. You know, we don't know the people who are walking next to us. We don't know all that God is doing in their life. But when the time comes, let us trust God's leading when he puts us on assignment, whenever he tells us to text somebody, when he tells us to give somebody a call, to make some, you know, to make a visit to someone, to stop and speak to someone. Let us trust that leading. Let's just trust him that he knows what he's doing. And let us be prepared that when the moment arises, that we share Jesus. Let us just share what Jesus did in our life. And Jesus, God, he will do the rest. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, God, that there are so many people, God, who are searching for God, Lord, in spiritual deserts. God, just like this man, this Ethiopian man, Lord. God, I just pray, Father God, that you would help us, Lord. God, that when you call on us, Lord, I pray that we would be those people, Lord, that you can trust, God, to go and to do your will. Lord, I pray, God, for those, God, in our lives, God, our loved ones, God, that do not know you, Father. God, I pray, Lord Jesus, God, that they would respond to the call that is on their hearts, Lord. God, I pray for those, God, that we have been praying for. Lord, I pray, God, I thank you, God, that you have your hands on them, Lord, that you have not let go. God, that you are working in their hearts, Father, and God, their day is coming. Lord, I pray, Father God, that as you do your part, Lord God, that we would do our part. God, that we would be a light. God, that we would plant seeds. And God, that we would be ready, Lord, to share Jesus when the time comes. Lord, we just give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for joining us for this incredible word from Pastor Marcus Dunham. Visit cotr.com and subscribe to our social media platforms to stay up to date. As well, receive more encouraging messages from our pastors and details of the work we're doing both in our community and communities like ours around the world. Today and every day, God bless.